This is Reverend Irvin speaking. I'm happy to greet you, say hello to you during this first week, I guess it would be, of the new year. And what a wondrous new year it can be for all of us, because for many reasons, but symbolically, it's a sign of the newness and the freshness with which God can give us a kind of opportunity to start over. The past is past. God's future ever stretches before us, and whatever it holds for us, we can know that God Himself will be there in it, blessing us, guiding us, supporting us, sustaining us. So we rejoice and give thanks to God. We're so glad that we can share these moments with you. And we're so happy and pleased and thankful for the person who is with you now. His or her time and effort, I know, brings you a blessing, not so much from the tape, but from just from her being present with you. So we hope that as we begin the new year, we do pray that it'll be a good one for you, for the church, and that God's name will be glorified in all that we do, and His kingdom will be spread. God will attend to your needs, open your hearts to Him, and let Him bless you during these days. Now I invite our boys and girls. You'll have to come up around the table. That's okay. Those acolytes can get around, why they can get around. Here comes a few. Thank you. Hey, we got more than three here, don't we? My goodness. Yeah, we do. We got four. Well, good. Glad to see y'all. Did you have a good Christmas? Did you get everything you wanted? You really did? My goodness, I'll bet there's not anybody else here that got everything you wanted. I'll bet you could think of one thing that you didn't get, couldn't you? I want to show you one of the gifts I got. Boy, it's really something. You want to hold that for me?
Yeah.
Don't you talk, they'll hear you.
Yeah.
Say hello to them out there.
Hello.
Did you ever see one of these?
Yeah.
I don't know why I got this, but there's a lot of soap in there, and you can make bubbles with it. It works. There, it works. Do you ever play with one of these?
Yeah.
Blow on it, will you? Boy, you have, haven't you? How about you? Yeah. Oh, no soap there. Come over here. You got to come over closer. Don't blow toward me. Wow. There you go. What happened to all those bubbles we saw a few moments ago? There's a few there, aren't there? You see those?
They popped.
They went. They popped. Well, you know what? Sometimes the Christmas spirit is about like that. We get all good things, do good things to other people. We feel good in our heart. We're kind to everybody around Christmas. And then after Christmas, just like those bubbles, it's all gone. Maybe we should take a lesson from these bubbles that soon disappear and try to keep that Christmas spirit alive. It kind of pops too, doesn't it? Yeah. Well, that's our message this morning from these soap bubbles. Let's try to keep that Christmas spirit of kindness and goodwill and goodness to each other and love in our hearts alive all the time, and not let them disappear like these bubbles. Thank you for coming this morning. Eternal God, who was before time began, who is now, and who will be when time has passed away,
We ponder in prayer the meaning of the days you have given us. We know that once one is gone, it does not return. Teach us something of the preciousness of time and give us the will to use it wisely as it inches its way through our existence. Open us to the possibilities of each new moment and prepare us to celebrate with joy each minute that we have. Thank you for the past, with its joys and disappointments. It has been a time of growth, of victory, and of defeated despair. Thank you for the present, replete as it is with peril, and so full with challenge. It is a time you've given us to mold our life and our world into pattern and into meaning. Thank you for the future, unknown, untarnished, and frightful. We confidently move into it because we know that you will be there, the same as you were yesterday and the same as you are today, but with ever new joys and callings. May we know that our aspirations will find fulfillment in the year ahead. Lord, we pray for those for whom time has become a burden because they have lost hope or have outlived friends and are now lonely. We pray for those who are imprisoned by the past because of regret or sin or mistake. We ask your care upon those whose present is torn by anxiety and is uncertain because of indecisiveness. Give your loving concern to those whose present is void and empty because of low aim or because of lack of love. We pray for those who look to tomorrow with fear and trembling. We do not know what each day will bring forth, but we do know that we can wake to your present claims and that the hour of serving you is always present. Let us be open to the lessons of the past, the opportunities of the future, and may we capture the visions of the future. Father God, minister to our needs. We pray for the members of this congregation. Some we could call by name, some are lonely, some are ill, some are hiding sin, some find it impossible to care, some face decisions, some have nagging doubts, some are hesitant about making commitments to you, some want to get out of their present rut, some want relief from so much activity. Whatever our need, minister to us. And now, Father, as we wait in a quiet moment, listen to the yearnings of our hearts and spirits. Pray, our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. In 1 Peter, the second chapter, it is written, like newborn babes, long for the pure spiritual milk, that by it you may grow up to salvation, for you have tasted the kindness of the Lord. During the past several days, I hope that you've been able to participate in the birth of Jesus Christ as well as Christmas. And I hope that at least part of your perspective in approaching the celebration was that it celebrates a unique and wondrous event of God coming into the world and hopefully to your life. He has been born to us, this little baby, and now the helpless little infant of 5 days or so is yours to take home and to begin rearing. Now, no mother or father in his right mind is going to abandon a newborn child. Yet, perhaps thousands, perhaps millions of Christians, after Christmas, abandon the newborn baby there in the manger. Now you will want to take this new child, Jesus, you want this newborn child, Jesus, to have all of his needs tended to, and you will want him to grow into manhood. But it's a paradox, you see. Not only is this a time when Jesus is born to you, it's also a reminder that you are born to Christ as well. And the text compares you to a newborn infant. Like newborn babies long for the pure spiritual milk, that by it you may grow up. Now, any way you look at it, a fragile infant needs care and has needs. The Christ child has needs and needs care. You, as a person born into Christ during the Christmas season, need care and have needs. If you look at the text from the perspective of Christ's birth, you must see that he is a helpless infant requiring food and once in a while a change of swaddling clothes. If you look at it from the other side of the paradox, you as a newborn Christian have the same needs as an infant. Now, child abuse seems to be on the rise in our nation, or at least its incidence is more widely known than in the past. And we want to make sure that we are not guilty of such a crime against the newborn baby, Jesus, or against the newborn you. You want to make very certain that you are good to the new life God has given you. And you'll want to take care of the Christ's every need. And one of the first things a baby needs is food. Without proper nourishment, even an adult can perish in perhaps a couple of weeks. But an infant could perish in a matter of hours. Now, as babies in Christ, you need food also. It's a necessity of life. But of course, foodstuff for you is not material, it's spiritual. It is written, man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. And whether you admit it or not, you have need to feed on the word of God. You need more than bread in your stomach. You need bread in your soul as well. And a good portion of that bread, spiritual bread, is found in the scriptures. In the Old Testament, we find a man feeding off the word. God said to Ezekiel, "Son of man, eat what is offered you. Eat this scroll and go and speak to the house of Israel." Then Ezekiel goes on to say, "So I opened my mouth, and he gave me a scroll to eat, and he said to me, 'Son of man, eat this scroll, and fill your stomach with it.' Then I ate it, and it was in my mouth as sweet as honey. Here God was insisting that Ezekiel literally eat the printed word. Now, of course, we don't want to do that. But the point is, probably, that we become what we eat, at least spiritually. The Lord wants His Word to become second nature to us. He wants us to wrap our flesh and our spirit and our soul around the Bible. And when you hear it, read it, meditate on it, internalize it, you become it. And the Word becomes you. The printed page then, and only then, I suspect, becomes the living Word. Paul said, let the Word of God dwell in you richly. So, we are to feed ourselves on the Bible, and the best place to start that, and to do that, is in company with other Christians, the Church of Jesus Christ. A sermon can be like a warm bottle for babes in Christ. Public worship, like a dose of vitamins, and good books, such as found in our church library and elsewhere, are like solid food. Some years ago, a fellow came to me with a problem, and I remembered that in the past month or so, that the problem he had was one which I had dealt with in a sermon a few weeks before. And I also knew that one of our Sunday school classes had just completed a unit of study in that general area. So I asked him, after I told him, where were you? Well, now it turned out that this man had had the sniffles. I thought only women had sniffles on the day that that sermon was preached. And I found out that, for him, Sunday school is not my thing. So he missed a feeding. And he was now hungry. How sad. Now there's no reason for any of you to be spiritually famished. The food is right here in the church. And if there's not enough here, then get busy and prepare some for yourself, rather than squawking about what is not being done here and what is not here, and rather than running hither and yon trying to find food someplace else where it can't be found. Why don't you make up your mind right now that you're going to eat well as a Christian? Many of you are not. Why don't you vow right now to never miss a meal at the Lord's table? Why don't you promise to be faithful to hear God's word and study it, particularly study it, and internalize it until it speaks to you, until it becomes your very lifestyle? Food is basic for a baby. God is richly provided for babes in Christ. So dig in. If you do, you'll soon be able to feed yourself. Now, secondly, a baby requires protection. Mary wrapped Jesus up to keep him warm. Joseph took him to Egypt to protect him from the maniac Herod. Protection is important for a baby. Now, the church and the Christian fellowship provides that protection. The church is like a greenhouse or perhaps an incubator. It gives warmth and light. And so many people today live with the delusion that I can be just as good a Christian if I don't go to church, if I don't participate in the church. You know, that's like a plant saying, my roots don't need to be in the soil, and I don't need moisture, and I don't need sunshine. And some are in search of the perfect church. Well, if you ever find the perfect church, stay away from it, because if you don't, you're going to mess it up. And the imperfect church will not be made better by the selfish, power-seeking members' activities, nor by the self-appointed critics, whether they be inside or outside the church. The church will be improved and moved on toward perfection by those involved, loving saints on the inside who work to make it better. And now, just because a greenhouse may have a few broken panes and occasionally a foul odor may emit from it, does not mean that the greenhouse isn't capable of providing protection and the environment for growth for the plants therein. A greenhouse does not have to be perfect to do the job, nor does the church. It can give you the protection you need. Now, the Bible tells us about many, many spiritual dropouts. Demas, Judas, Ananias, Sapphira, just to name three or four. They got hurt because they got out from under the spiritual protection of the Christian community, the church, and life storms broke in upon them, and they were not able to handle them. So Christ is born to you. He needs food, he needs protection, and you are born to Christ, and you need food and protection too. But there's a need for training as well. Jesus was trained by Mary and Joseph to talk, to read, to worship, to work, to pray. Christians need training, worship, obedience, and prayer. These things don't come naturally for most people. They require some discipline. Some say a child becomes 18 before his basic physical training is complete. Many people are at least 25 before becoming emotionally mature. And alas, some never make it. Training takes years, never ends. Spiritual training is the same. We live in such an impatient world today. Everyone hurries. We want success without paying the price. A young man got a clarinet for Christmas a few years ago, before the advent of rock, I guess. He was excited. He was so excited because he was going to play like Artie Shaw or Pete Fountain. He began to take lessons. You know what his instructor did? Started him on playing the C scale. And after about a half hour, he said, "What's this got to do with Artie Shaw and jazz music?" I quit. And he never learned to play. We're so impatient with training. Everything is instant in our time. Coffee, cameras, credit, what have you. But if you're going to be a great clarinet artist, you'll have to pay the price before the crowd fills the concert hall. And if you're going to have a great and meaningful prayer life, you're just going to have to pay the price of trial, error, practice, and study. If you want to know what it means to have the full benefits of being a Christian, you just are going to have to pay the price. You can't get it instantly, regardless of the electronic church and regardless of the fantastic promises that some religious hucksters can make to you. You just got to pay the price. Nothing in life comes easily. Few things do anyway. Just as athletics and writing and business insight take years to develop, so the Christian life does too. You know what the cost of spiritual new birth is? The cost of spiritual new birth was paid on Calvary. And right up there, God picked up the cost, the tab. But the cost of that new birth amounting to something in your life is your own blood, your own sweat, your own tears. And if it's going to amount to anything, you've got to pay the price. So Christ is born to you. Today, you'll get to take him home with you. Are you going to abuse him? Are you going to neglect him? This Christ has to be fed. He has to be protected. He has to be trained. So many of us are guilty of starving and abusing the Christ in our lives. And we have so often left him unprotected and untrained. You've been born in Christ. We are spiritual babies. Now, physically, you may wear a three-piece suit, or you may wear a dress. Mentally, you may be a college graduate. But spiritually, let's face it, you're still in diapers. Giants we are intellectually. Powerful we are physically. Dwarfs we are spiritually. We are physically and mentally too big for our spiritual britches. Now is the time. Our Lord didn't stay in the cradle very long. Unto us, St. Peter says, grow in the grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now it's all right. It's wonderful to be a baby in Christ. But how long are you going to stay there? How long is the lack of patience? How long is the unforgiving attitudes? How long is the pettiness? How long is the resentment? How long is that going to stay with us and with you? Paul says we must arrive at full maturity. We are not meant to remain as children. Now, you don't have to stay a baby. You can be Christ man. You can be Christ woman. You can be Christ young person. And you have to make the choice. Let us pray. Lord, as the year fades and as the Christmas season has departed, let us ponder anew what the coming of Christ into our lives means. And under your love and your guidance, and at the direction of your Spirit, may we turn to you, offer ourselves in a new commitment to you, and then seek to grow into Christ-likeness, and seek to love one another so that others may know that you have indeed come to us. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen.